We're doing Gemara Birachot. We're holding Daf Ches Amud Beis, about 6-7 lines before the lines get wide. Amalu Rava Libnei. Rava said to his sons, we're dealing with the words of wisdom that parents gave their children. We began with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and now we're up to Rava. What did he tell his kids? Kshatem chotechin basar al tachtechu al gav hayad. When you cut meat, Rava said to his children, don't cut it on your hand. You're going to hack a piece of meat. Don't do it when you're holding the meat in your hand. Some say you hack the meat. You're using a sharp knife. Who knows what will happen to your hand? It's dangerous. Others say, no, even if you're sawing the meat, we're not worried you're going to saw off your hand. It's you're cutting in a way that you're not endangering the hand, but even if you don't endanger the hand, if a little bit of blood splurts out, it'll disgust everyone, so it'll ruin the meal. So others say this isn't about the endangering of one's hand, but rather this is about that it'll make it disgusting to other people sitting at the place. The next piece of advice Rava gave his children was, "Val teshvon mitat aramit, and don't sit on an Aramean's bed. Val tavru acharei bet hakneset b'sha'a sh'atzibur mitpalelin. And don't walk past the back of a shul, where people used to enter from the back. Don't walk past the main entrance, which was in the back of the shul, at a time that the congregation is praying. So now the Gemara analyzes it. V'al tishvu al mitat aramit. Don't sit on an Aramean's bed. Ikadam hi lo tignu v'lo kriyat shma. Some say it means, don't go to sleep like an Aramean. Don't go to sleep without declaring monotheism the way the Torah wants you. Meaning, don't go to sleep without saying shma. V'ikadam hi. And others say that what he meant to say is, the lo tinse v'giyota. Don't marry a giores, meaning don't go to bed with an Aramean. Don't sleep on a bed that's an Aramean is a modest way of saying don't sleep with, don't marry an Aramean ger. And some say he meant very simply, don't sit on an Aramean's bed. Umishuma said Rav Papa, because Rava's disciple, Rav Papa, had a following story. The Rav Papa azi legabe Aramit, Rav Papa went to this Aramean woman who owed him money. Now, Rav Papa was a very corpulent man. She took out the bed. She said, sit down on the bed. I'll go get you your money. Rav Papa said, he said, I'm not sitting till you raise the bed. They lifted the bed. She lifted the bed. She figured he won't see what's under there. Turns out there was a dead baby. They wanted to make a blood libel. They wanted to say, Rav Papa sat and killed the baby, and that way she wouldn't have to pay back the debt. Because she would be able to blame him. He would squash the baby. And then the forensic experts in those days, they couldn't figure out who really killed the baby. And then she'd get away without paying him. So that's why Rava told his kids, you always be careful. If an Aramean lets you sit on their bed, you be careful to make sure what's under it. Don't go sitting on their beds. From here our sages taught, it's prohibited from sitting on an Aramean's bed. I don't know what type of beds they used to make back then. He told his children, don't walk past the shul at the time that the congregation is praying. This is supportive of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's quote. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, asur lo la'adam she'avor achoy bet hakneset, it is prohibited for a person to walk past the back of a shul b'sha'a sh'atzibur mitpalelin, at the time that the congregation is praying. Amar Rabbi v'lo amran el adleka pitcha achrina. Abai says, this is speaking specifically where there's no other entrance. So they see you walking past that entrance, it's obvious you don't care to join the congregation in prayer. But if there's another entrance, so people have to say, well, maybe he's going to enter the shul at the other entrance, so then there's no problem. You could walk past the shul when they're davening. And this is only in a situation where there is no other shul in town. But if there's another shul, then you have nothing to worry about. People are going to say, yeah, he's not entering this shul. He probably davened at the other minyan. He's going to the other minyan. And we didn't say this rule unless the situation is that you're not carrying a load, you're not running by, you're not obviously in a rush, and the person is not wearing tefillin. But if you have one of these factors, either he's carrying a load, so it's obvious why he's not entering shul, he's in the middle of working, he's carrying a load, or he's running, so everyone sees he's busy. It's not that he doesn't believe in monotheism, it's not that he's rejecting the whole religion and that's why he doesn't enter to pray. He's busy, he's running. Or if he's wearing tefillin, so everyone sees he believes in monotheism, he's wearing tefillin. If you have one of these, then let lambat, doesn't matter if you walk by when the congregation is davening in shul.